Okay.
Yeah, so I have to force myself to go slow. Part of the strategy is finding ways. I mean, when I teach, I often teach design done slowly, mm-hmm. because the computer, all the digital means tends to speed up the process, but that doesn't make it better. It just makes you maybe more efficient.
Right.
And I find that by working slowly, it gives the images a chance to find relationships that maybe aren't evident. And that's one reason I never sketch these things out. There's never any, in fact, in none of my design work do I ever do any like thumbnails or anything. It's because it's about looking for the relationship of the images. You know, these really aren't a good example because these are just obvious kinds of things just to create grids for them. But I can show you some of the, let's see, find some. Go to my, probably go to the website. So the new machinery stuff is all, these are all done.
Wow.
Each one takes, they're quite large, and these are the ones I was talking about.
Yeah.
Some of them are at the airport, not this one. But it's, you know, all the photography is like this, except it's black and white, and then, so I gather a bunch of materials, and that takes time. The photography, I'll shoot all the black and white for a whole series at once, and that takes about 3 or 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I get all the prints back, I start putting these together. Each one of these takes about a month to do, and I'll just start with one image, and then I'll just go sift through the pile and find the second image, and then there'll be time, and then the third image, and it accrues over time,
right?
And that way you can start to develop structures and strategies and let it sink in.
Right.
It's more like writing a book,
right?
Where you need to find out who are the characters and what are they like and how do they relate to each other, right?
Right.
And so it really takes a lot of time to do that. And so that's the most important strategy in the whole thing, is to really get absorbed in it and find its own internal logic.
Right.
And from there... you know, there's obvious commonalities. There's things about trying to determine if this is a machine of some sort. Where does it end? Where's the profile? How do you transition from one section to another? And these are all questions. These are all things that I teach. And,
yeah.
and these strategies,
right.
of these questions you have to ask is, how does one thing hit another thing? And a lot of it is about looking at the world and seeing how objects, how things are built and designed, that it isn't just one thing slammed into another. There's often several layers of things that slowly move towards each other. And so how this all is created that way, that's all part of the thinking.
Right.
But you can only think about all these things if you go slowly.
Right.
Right?
Right.
If you try to zap these things together, then you're just making a composition.
Right.
And that's not the same thing.
Right.
And so that's what I try to... I mean, that's what I teach, but that's what I practice as well. So these are all, you know, their own fully contained thing that all relate to, you know, this is all one series, so everything was shot at the same time and then slowly pieced together. But the installations... that's... Okay, this is the... commission.
Right.
It's the same kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
although instead of thinking it as a contained machine, I start to think of this as almost geographically, you know, as it goes to the ends, and how do you create the edge? How do
right.
you create transitions of different colors and things? So a lot of the same questions, it's just, it doesn't have a defined limitation,
mm-hmm.
right? It's almost like a window in looking to a much vaster space of some sort. So those are some of the strategies I use, and I just keep staring at it for a long time. These I have to do. Well, I say rapidly, although that's all relative, right?
Right.
The actual construction of this was about a week, but the photography leading up to that week were months of
prep, right?
And then you just do it. It's like a live performance in a sense. Whereas the machinery things aren't really a performance in that same way, because I do it in private by myself. So those are some of the techniques that I use.
How do you think the image shifts from this process? Because, I mean, as photographs, they're objects that can be moved around.
Yep.
They can't be scaled. They're analog.
Yep.
But once you translate them into a digital space, does the image change for you in any way?
Yeah, it does. Each time something goes through a different medium, something changes.
Of course,
right? Because they all have to be translated.
Right.
And so there's some things you lose and some things you gain. And in fact, one of the big criticisms of the work when I take it places is that a lot of the critics prefer the original. So these are all post pushpin, I guess we can call it, right?
Right.
When it's been redone.
Right.
And they feel that it's too cleaned up, it's too organized, the weirdness of the push pins and things, they like that. They like it as sculpture. And I do when I'm doing these large spaces.
Right.
And I think it's because of the scale. But when you narrow it down, if I were to leave all the pins in, the pins would dominate so much more.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just looks arts and crafty to me.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it doesn't. And I want there to be a certain seamlessness to it. So that's one thing that it changes,
sure.
is that it changes from being sculptural or having a sculptural sense to being very smooth and more precise, I guess.
Right, because the surface is completely flat. Even though, I mean, there's a lot of depth in the images, right?
Yeah.
But the surface is pristine.
That's right.
Right.
That's
yeah.
right. And so you respond to it differently than you would when you're looking at the pushpin.
Right.
Because the pushpins, when you look at the big field with the pins, you have to willfully let the pins disappear.
Right.
Right. And here you don't have to do any of that. They're already gone.
Yeah.
And you know, again, that's fine with me. But you know, when I get these kinds of criticisms, I figure that they may be valid, and I don't just ignore them. I really try to think about maybe I should try one where I'm dealing with the pins.
Mm.
Or maybe one way to do it is I'm always using 4x6 because that's the cheap print cost, right? And maybe I need to work with 12x18 prints and so dealing with this larger scale, and then the pins won't be so dominant because the relationship is different. These are all, you know, there's only so much time in the world to do every variation. And
there's only so much space that you have available to you, right?
Well, yeah, and I am doing this in between other projects and teaching, so,
right?
So you kind of have to... I mean, but that's the thing that's kind of interesting about moving into this photo world is that the other people that when you go to these portfolio reviews, a lot of them, this photography thing is their career, and they are hustling like crazy. And I can kind of sit back and get this kind of criticism and not, I don't feel I have to sell, right, quite as intently. Yeah. I'm more like, let's have a conversation. And so it's useful for me. It's, again, it's part of that kind of going slow because I don't have to earn a living from this stuff, whereas other people do. And so they have much more to lose,
right?
And I'm like, okay, maybe I'll try that. Oh, good idea. And so, you know, so and it moves forward at a slow pace. Well, I mean, this thing actually is completely dominating everything now. I don't know how much new stuff I'm going to learn from it, but that's all right.
Yeah. And, you know, what I find so wonderful is your comment about moving slowly because, you know, that's our sort of processing speed, right? For us to move slowly, to think, to allow things to marinate and connections to happen.
You know, it's interesting because if we talk about design education, when I teach most of my classes, one assignment in the entire semester, whether it's a type class or an image. But you see, what I have them do is, like, if it's a type, a long form typography is one thing I like to teach, which is kind of like book design.
Yeah.
You can only get to the details of, you know, page numbers and footnotes and indents and subtle kinds of things if you have an entire semester.
Right.
And most projects are based on this efficiency, right?
Right.
You're going to do a letterhead, and then you're going to do a menu, and then
right.
you're going to do this. And
right.
it's 1 week, and it's all about the presentation and doing the thumbnails. And all I'm thinking of is, where did that model ever come from?
Mm.
It's all based on the efficiency of business. At the Bauhaus, they didn't do that. That was not how classes were taught. And the idea that even in, like, we're in an art school, and yet most of the undergraduate, I don't actually know how it is now, but for a long time, because I taught in undergrad, the whole program was structured as if it was in a business school, where you happen to also do art. And I wish that design curricula would start looking at art programs. Because, you know, if you take a painting class, they aren't saying, okay, you're going to do a landscape the first week, then you're going to do a portrait the second week, and then you're going to do a history painting the third week. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work like that.
Right.
It's a developing a body of work and slowly letting one thing build on the next thing, on the next thing. And that's all part of slowing down. It's like a curriculum that starts to take things slower and deeper instead of broader and fast is what I always try to do. But, you know, I'm always the oddball in the curricular kind of thing. Right? You know,
oh, there goes Martin.
Right. Well, when we do the Form Studio class in the grad program, it's one assignment. But
wow.
each week, it's a furthering of looking more deeply
right.
at what you just did.
Right.
And so it's all building and building and building. But there are no endpoints,
right.
which the students don't know how to deal with. Because they'll say, well, what is this supposed to be? And it's like, it already is what it's supposed to be. There's no
right.
sudden... And the reason why I did that is because originally, the form class was a... It was an offshoot of a type class I was teaching where one of the assignments was do a poster, yeah, pick a location in the city, and we're going to do a poster about it. And so the first couple of weeks, they're investigating, and they're bringing in all kinds of images and things, and they're having a great time, and the stuff is really exciting. But as soon as you say, now it's time to turn it into a poster, all the creativity goes. Everything looks awkward and forced and ugly. And I could never understand, why is that? What
yeah.
happens as soon as you say it's now a design project?
Right.
Do they all get into a different mode?
Mm-hmm.
And it occurred to me, like, what would happen if we did the first part of that assignment, that discovery, and there was never the second part? It was like the entire semester was just discover, and
right.
build on what you've just discovered.
Right.
And that's and what happened was the first time I taught it, which was about 1998. The work we got back from that class was phenomenal, unbelievable, completely, very much in an art vein, just really with a lot of depth, and I just kept teaching it as a elective, and only when we moved to the graduate program did we make it a part of the when we designed the grad program, we made it a regular part of it. But it's all about that same kind of thing, about investigation and depth, and not about... Because for some reason, the assignments just kill the... I don't know, the visual, whatever. I still don't even really know why that happens.
Well,
but I know it still does.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the tools create that kind of creative constipation for students? Because, you know, I mean, being... out investigating,
uh-huh.
you are in space in real time, absorbing things in mm-hmm. as a whole human, right?
Well,
but
yeah.
then coming back and then being confronted by a screen, and like you were saying, it's so exacting
well,
and so
okay.
efficient.
But at the time when I first started doing it, there were no digital cameras.
Yeah, right.
There were no laptops.
Right, right.
And they only spent the first week or two actually on site, then they would bring back ideas from that, which
right.
they would then create experiments within the classroom.
Yeah.
So it wasn't always about going out. I just think that somehow their mind shifts when it turns into a design project into client, audience,
sure.
message, lots of like horrifying metaphors. You know, so, I think you know what I mean. Like it's a, we're now doing a poster for a concert. It's a piano concert, so you see all the piano keys musical notes and all of that. And like that, it's so like there goes the creativity. There goes understanding what music is like in space. It just becomes a series of symbols and metaphors that is just horrifying, like I said, and I don't know why that is. But if you tell them to just explore music and we're going to create visual strategies of working with music, that doesn't happen. It's only when it's now design do they come up with these strategies, and the strategies are deadening, and I don't get it. And this happens no matter what school I'm at. When I critique work, it's always this way. And there's something deeper happening, but if you don't have an end point of the assignment, at first they're confused, but then they just keep moving.
Yeah.
We're talking about Form Studio.
I thought you were.
You're still feeling that.
I know. Right?
He struggled at first.
Yeah.
Well, because his background is in photography.
A lot.
And so he knew too much.
Yeah, so there was like unlearning that you had to do.
I think so.
Right?
You may deny it, but I think
so. Well,
because he knew what a photograph was supposed to look like, just like I think people know what a poster is supposed to look like.
Yeah. What design is supposed to look like, right? Yeah.
And so moving you, once you've got it though, you just
took a little while.
Yeah, it did, but you just sailed through. And it's funny because when I taught that class at an undergraduate level, it was at an upper undergraduate level, the students were just so hungry for this that they were great. Never had problems with them because they had so many assignments that were about here's your audience, here's the demographics and all. Finally, you give them something open.
Right.
But the grad students, as opposed to that, they're coming to grad school, right? They've left their jobs. They're making a big investment. And then you start off in the very first class and say, here's a box of paper clips and some rubber bands. These are the materials you're going to use. They're insulted.
Right.
They said, like, wait a minute. This is not nursery school.
Nice to hear from you, too, because we were,
right.
That was totally
and it's like they want to change the world. They're there to be designed to solve the problems of mankind and move politics and all this. And it's like, no, we were going to start looking at this piece of plastic and wire. And it's like, huh? And, you know, so I have to convince them that this is going to be valuable, which is tricky, but that's my job.
Right.
And once they get it, then it's a whole new thing, right? After the first couple of weeks, most people, they...
I think they got
into it. They understood.
No, I think what I... And I almost want to say this earlier, is the most valuable... And you said this in the first... point. The most valuable part of that class was coming up with the process when you don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Mm. In the sense of like, I totally, like you said, you start off in that first week and you're like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with this shit, you know?
Right.
Like, I just want to stick
run
in a
out
Photoshop.
Of ideas. That's one of the first things that happens.
Yeah.
I've done rubber bands for 3 weeks. There's nothing left to do in rubber bands. And part of the learning is how to never be stuck.
Right.
How to always develop processes and strategies that will always move you forward. And once I started discovering this, I haven't been stuck for, I don't know, 25 years. The problem is for me is not being stuck, but having too many ideas and learning that you can't do them all and how to like put some on the side. You know, I've solved that problem by doing these, where I can use every idea in every piece, right?
Well, now it's like what do I do with the push pins, right?
That's right. So I kind of solved it by turning it into a benefit, by having too many ideas, to be too hyperactive.
Right.
But yeah, that is that's a problem for designers all the time. I mean, I worked in the design field for many, many years before I went back to school, and everything changed, and I was designing crappy coupons. I literally was in Oakland designing 25-cent off coupons, and the days would just be endless. And yes, you run out of ideas really fast, like by 10 o'clock. And then you're just drawing rectangles on a piece of paper and waiting for lunch, right? Because there was nothing else but to get stuck.
Right.
And you do that, or you go through annuals. And you look at other people's ideas, and then you try to steal, not steal, things from other people. And it's like, that's not that's just not the way.
Right.
And I had to learn how not to work that way, and then that's part of what I teach.
Yeah.
So it's all of a piece, you know, how I teach and then how I make stuff. And, you know, and I do this, but then, like I said, I mainly do book design, which is a very different...
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's about, you know, hyper-organization
right.
and meticulous detail and all that. So it's a different side, and I teach both,
right.
and I do both, so...
And, you know, what's really interesting, well, in a book, it's linear,
yeah.
you know, in how it unfolds, but... You know, with these pieces and those larger pieces, like you were saying, it was like radial, right? It just
yeah,
expands
yeah.
out.
That's right. That's
yeah.
right. That's an interesting way of looking at it. And I like both strategy. I mean,
yeah.
I like both ways of working. I like book design. One reason why I like book design is because it's a slow process.
Mm.
You have a big book that you're working on, it'll be 9 months or a year and a half or whatever it is
yeah.
that you really absorb the material and you read all of the text and you're able to like learn about this topic and start to look at a language. And all of that development is over a long period of time.
Yeah.
At least, I mean, it depends on the books and depends on the deadlines you get. But usually it's like that, and I like that feeling too. I don't like stress. Because, see, when you have to work under stressful circumstances, it's the clever person that wins, not necessarily the best person. So the person who come up with the snappy tagline, the funny joke, ha-ha, they're the ones that succeed in that world, and I'm not clever that way. That's why I have to go slow and start to put things together, because I can't come up with those kinds of jokes.
Right.
At least
right.
that's just me.
Yeah.
Other people are good at that, and they go into advertising, and they're and they're wildly successful
yeah.
at it because that's how they think, right? And I don't work that way. So anyway,
thank you so very much.
Oh, sure.
For
thank you,
yeah.
Sure. It's great.
This is fantastic.
I don't know you all. Do I?
I'm Daniel.
Daniel. Okay.
Nice to meet you.
Daniel?
Joshua.
Joshua.
Good to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
And Karen Zimmerman.
Wait. We met earlier.